Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. Each week at this time brings you a new adventure of the Great Gildersleeve, written by Virginia Safford Lynn.
Mr. Gildersleeve, could I interest you in getting this box out of the way and taking it down to the basement?
What box, Bertie? Oh, my do-it-yourself toolkit?
Yes.
Well, I kept thinking I'd think of something I could do myself.
Well, why don't you make a lamp?
Well, I haven't got anything to make one out of.
Say, I'm going to the church bazaar this afternoon. Why don't I find a vase for you?
Yeah, well, that'd be fine.
Well, I better get upstairs and finish making my bed.
Yeah, okay, Bertie. Yeah, I really must make something with
you. Throckmorton, did I scare you, sugar?
Nearly scared my big toe off.
Well, now, how could I scare your big toe off?
The toolbox fell on it.
Oh, you poor man.
Well, I didn't expect a little boll weevil to pop out of the kitchen.
Well, the back door was open, so I just moseyed in. Oh, that should do it yourself, kid.
Yeah, I was carrying it down to my workshop in the basement.
Oh, well, now, let me help pick them up. Oh, well, what's this thing for?
Yeah, it's an electric drill.
Oh.
You see, these drills go with it. 1/16 to 1/4 of an inch.
Well, if you're planning to drill yourself an oil well, give up, Throckmorton. You'll never make it.
Okay, I won't do it then. Isn't this a nice hacksaw?
For sawing hacks?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I know what these are. Tweezers.
We menfolk call them pliers.
And I know this one, too. It's a wench.
Wrench, Sleeper.
Well, it takes one to know one. You're a terrible man.
I didn't say it. You said it.
Well, I'm just rude and trifling.
Yeah.
Well, what does this do?
You know that? That's a vice. You put things in it to hold them real tight.
Oh, I like that. Well, now the tools are all back in that little old house. Well, what are you planning to make, Throckmorton?
Well, I can't seem to think of anything.
Well, you'll just have to make something with these pretty tools.
I'll make something all right.
Oh, you're so clever. It must be wonderful to be a man.
It sure is. Especially when you're the woman.
In just 60 seconds, we'll hear what's going on in Summerfield. But first, hear this.
There are only two things in life of which we may be certain. Death and taxes. What gripes the taxpayer is that they don't come in that order. But seriously, one of the biggest jobs handled by the Secretary of the Treasury is the collection of taxes, our government's only source of income. The government raises money through the Bureau of Internal. Some people say it should be eternal, the Bureau of Internal Revenue, which collects income taxes, excise taxes, amusement taxes, and other federal taxes. The Bureau also checks to see that you haven't paid too little, and believe it or not, that you haven't paid too much. Now, another way the government raises money is through the Bureau of Customs, by duties on imports, things brought here for sale from foreign countries. But the Treasury Department only collects the money. It's Congress, people sent to Washington by you and me, who actually says who will pay taxes and how much.
Just a second, please. I'm coming. Why, Miss Ransom, come in.
Oh, Daddy, you're dressed to go out.
I'm just leaving for the church bazaar.
Well, why don't I drop you off as I drive downtown?
Now, that'll be real nice of you, because I'm late now.
All righty. Well, just tell me where I can leave this vase for safekeeping. I wouldn't have anything happen to it for worlds.
Well, right here on the kitchen table. The raised edges will keep it from rolling off. Oh, my, it's a real pretty vase.
Yes, isn't it? Years and years ago, my little old Auntie Pooh gave it to me. It had belonged to her grandmother.
Must be real old.
Oh, yes, because it belonged to her great-grandmother before that, and she got it from her grandmother, and she'd been given it by Lafayette, who had it sent from France.
Isn't that only old? It must be tired, too.
Oh, hasn't it a thrilling history? I brought it over to ask Throckmorton to glue the teakwood base back on for me. He must have something in his do-it-yourself kit that'll do it.
Oh, I know he can fix it for you. Soon as he gets back tonight.
Fine. I'll phone him as soon as I get home from my tea party. Oh, I'll be so glad to have it fixed. If anything happened to it, I'll just never get over it. Well, now, are you ready, Betty?
Yes, ma'am. As soon as I find my purse.
What's that on your arm?
Naturally, it's my purse. Okay, Miss Ransom, I'm ready.
Well, we'll go out in the back. My car's over in my driveway.
Bertie, we're home.
We came home for lunch, Bertie.
Well, she's probably out shopping for our Sunday dinner.
But what about our Saturday lunch?
Well, we'll fix it ourselves. See what's in the refrigerator. Milk, cheese, cold chicken.
Well, don't hold back. Bring it over to the table while I get the crackers. Oh, look out, I'll grab the vase. Whoop.
Bumped right into the table. Hey, what's that vase doing there anyway?
Yeah, where'd that vase come from?
Oh, yeah, I bet I know. Bertie was going to find something for me to make into a lamp.
Gee, that'll be just the right size for a lamp.
Yeah, good old Bertie never fails. Come on, let's hurry up and finish our lunch so we can go downtown and buy the stuff to turn into a lamp. Of course, it's just a cheap vase, but dress it up with an expensive shade and who'll know the difference?
Be sure the vase is steady now, Unc. You have to drill a little hole first because a big one might bust the vase.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Did you check to be sure the hole corresponds to the one you drilled in the teakwood base?
Yeah, I checked.
Good boy. Hey, it's coming through, Unc. Well, fine work.
Well, there it is.
Now you use a bigger drill.
Yeah, I thought I used the reamer.
Gee, I don't know. Maybe you do. I don't really know anything about this stuff. I'm just showing off.
Now, don't joggle me now.
Boy, are we going to have a keen old lamp.
Yeah. Tell you, though, I keep wishing it weren't such a cheap vase. All the work we're putting on it.
But it'll last. Unc, yeah, it'll last.
Oh, yes. It'll be durable.
Yeah, it won't wear out either.
Yeah, there. There, now, it's all finished. Yeah. You thought I was going to bust it, didn't you?
Gosh, Unc, you know what you're doing every minute.
Yeah, I'm just slightly perfect, that's all. Yeah, let's get the metal tubing in, huh?
Yeah, I threaded the wire through for you, Unc.
Ew, I'll be glad to recommend you highly.
Oh, I bet I know something you're forgetting, Unc. That's the lock washers. You got to have them where the tubing won't hold tight. You forgot about that, didn't you, Unc?
While you've been telling me that I forgot them, I've been tightening them.
Well, good boy.
If you'd stop showing off, I'd get more work done. Now, where's the light socket?
Right here, Unc. Wait just a second. I'll just check to be sure you got the wire screwed in right. Yeah, this one goes here. Yeah, check. That one goes there. Check. Okay.
Thank you, Inspector. Hey, you better start mixing the water into the cement now. I'm almost ready, and we have to use it fast or it'll set.
You sure we're supposed to pour cement into the vase?
Of course. Keeps the tubing steady.
Oh.
Mr. Gildersleeve!
Oh, yes, Bertie. We're down here in my workshop.
Yeah, we're making a lamp.
Mr. Gildersleeve, did you see what became of that vase on the... My land, what's that?
That's what became of the vase, Bertie.
Isn't it a keen old lamp?
Not Miss Ransom's vase.
Oh, no. No, the one you got for me, Bertie.
Mr. Gildersleeve, I didn't get that for you. That's Miss Ransom's priceless family heirloom.
Mrs. Ransom's?
Yes, sir. She left it here for you to glue the vase onto the vase.
Oh, no.
Oh, golly.
It was given her Auntie Pooh's great-great-grandmother's grandmother by Lafayette.
Great Scott.
Lafayette, we ain't here.
You were just to glue the vase onto the vase.
I drilled holes in it. I filled it with cement. It's all hardened. Oh, my goodness. Somebody page Aladdin. Maybe you can rub this lamp and turn it back into a vase.
In
just a moment, we'll return to the great Gildersleeve.
All of us, at some time, are faced with a challenge. And the man in uniform is no exception. Before 1839, for example, the U.S. Navy had no such things as charts which showed sea lanes, currents, shoals, and so forth. But in 1839, a young naval officer, Matthew Fontaine Maury, sometimes called the father of the United States Navy, took up the challenge of supplying this information. In his early 40s, when he was appointed superintendent of the Depot of Charts and Instruments in Washington, he began his tremendous task. From the hundreds of dust-collecting logbooks stored in the Navy Department, he compiled data and information on sea travel and atmospheric conditions. At his request, outgoing sea captains kept round-the-clock logbooks. From them, Maury took additional information on navigation. They were also requested to throw overboard, at stated periods, bottles containing their ship's latitude, longitude, and the date. They were told to pick up any such bottles they came across, to record the information in them, and to forward the information to Washington. Soon, more than 1,000 shipmasters on every sea were supplying him with logs. Gradually, the information Maury gathered began to take shape. He drew maps of the sea lanes all over the world and added to them the temperatures of air and water, direction of wind, local sets of currents, the quickest routes between ports, and other pertinent information. To this date, Maury's pilot charts, brought up to date, can be found in all American naval and commercial ships. Thanks to Maury's patience and foresight, the military once more successfully met a challenge.
Hello, Peavy.
Mr. Gildersleeve, what can I do for you today?
Just let me collapse on one of your fountain stools and bring me a cup of coffee. Strong and black. And as a special flavor, lace it with arsenic.
Well, mercy on us, you are in a tizzy.
Yeah, Peavy, I'm completely tizzied. I just hadn't been quite so anxious to do something myself. Yeah, I should have my head examined.
Well, the microscope's in the back room.
Hey. Oh, fine. Go on and make jokes. Let us be gay. By all means, let's have some fun out of it.
Okay, but let's not get hysterical.
Well, Peavy, you'd be hysterical, too, if you'd done what I did.
What did you done did? What did you do? Tell me.
Yeah. Well, I thought Bertie had found a vase at the church bazaar for me to make into a lamp. But it was one that Mrs. Ransom brought over merely for me to glue on the base. But I didn't do that. I made it into a lamp.
Oh, you mean it's to surprise her?
Yeah, brother, will she be surprised. She'll probably never speak to me again, Peavy. It's a family heirloom. Lafayette gave it to her great-grandmother's grandmother or something.
Well, personally, I think they'd prefer to keep such scandalous carryings on hushed up. Why don't you just come right out and tell her what you've done, you coward?
For just one reason. I'm a coward.
That's what I thought. Why don't you cover all the antique shops and try to replace it?
Oh, thanks. Thanks for the suggestion. What do you think I've been doing all day? Why do you think I'm collapsing? I've canvassed every antique shop in town.
Well, pardon me for living.
Couldn't find anything. Don't expect an exact duplicate. All I ask is a faint resemblance.
Just an unreasonable facsimile. Did you try Miller's out on the west side?
Miller's? Where's that?
Out where South Washington crosses North Elm. Yeah, I wonder how it can do that. Well, anyway, they might have something. Their motto is, if it's in this world, we've got it.
Well, what's the number?
Oh, you couldn't miss it. But if anybody could, you could. So maybe I better look up the number.
By George, if this Miller hasn't got it, there's only one course left for me. Get out of this world. By George, if this store doesn't have a vase, it'll be the only thing they haven't got. Yeah, I hope I can squeeze in here.
How do you do, sir? I'm looking for
it. How do you do, sir? Just make yourself right at home and browse to your heart's content.
Oh, thanks very much. I'm looking for a certain kind of vase.
Well, I'm sure you'll find it. You just browse around.
Yeah, I'd like to find out if you have it.
Well, you know our motto. If it's in this world, we got it.
Well, if you've got it, I want it. In the worst way.
Well, then you just go right ahead and browse.
I don't want to browse. I haven't time to browse. I'm trying to get you to find it for me.
But my customers always browse. How could I ever find anything in all this junk?
Listen, I've got to have a certain kind of vase. It doesn't have to match exactly, but just so it looks a bit like it. You see, it was a French vase. It came from France.
Yeah, that figures. Let's see, I think we did have a French vase. Or was it Austrian? And even if we do have it, where would it be in all this mess?
Yeah, well, now, can't you please try to think?
Well, I'm thinking like anything. It was about yay high.
Yes, that's right.
And about yay wide.
Yes.
It had delicate flowers
on it. It did.
About the time when the American Revolution had come from the Lafayette.
That's it. That's the one. Where is it?
We don't have it anymore.
Oh, no. Where is it?
Or at least I think that lady took it.
Lady? What lady?
Yeah, woman-type lady.
Yeah? Well, tell me where she went. Where does she live?
Why?
Well, I've got to go after her and get the vase.
Well, but why go after her? There's the vase right there.
Right. Where is it? Oh, that's it. Yeah, just like it.
The lady didn't take it after all. Oh, what a shame. Now, you think it over, and if you decide you'd like it, you just tell me.
Yeah. Well, of course I want it. I've got to have it. How much is it?
$250.
$250. You couldn't see your way clear to giving me a slight discount. As an old friend of the Lafayette family?
Oh, I don't even know the family.
Oh.
No. Well, I'm sorry you don't want the vase then, Mr. Lafayette.
I want it. Yes, I do want it.
Oh, well, good. I knew if you browsed around, you'd find something.
Yeah, I browsed myself out of $250. It may take a lot of oil for the lamps of China, but it takes even more for the lamp of Leela. Leela doesn't see me taking this vase into my house. She'd never guess what's in this package anyway, I guess, though. No, sir. She'll never know what happened.
Hello, sir. Yeah. Oh, don't drop your package.
I've got it.
Oh, I scared you again, you poor man.
Yeah, well, no. It's all right. I'll just hit this package in the closet here. Excuse me a minute.
Throckmorton, I've just used your phone for a minute. I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Throckmorton, guess what I've got behind my back?
Leela, how'd you find that?
I've been down in your workshop. Look at my vase.
Yeah, well, hold on, Leela. Let me explain.
Throckmorton, I'm speechless.
Yeah, but Leela...
How did you know that for years and years I've just been dying to have this old vase made into a lion?
Yeah, but I... Huh?
Well, I simply adore it.
You adore it?
Oh, Throckmorton, you're a dear, sweet, woolly lamb.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a great big kiss.
Yeah.
I'm going to run straight home with it and see how it looks in my living room. I'm just thrilled, Bonnie.
Ta-ta, Leela. Glad you like it. You know, I'm stuck with a $250 vase. That was a mighty expensive kiss. It was worth it. Almost. Hello.
Hey, Mr. Lafayette?
Yeah, you must have the... Who is this?
Hey, this is Miller's Antique Shop. Your phone number was on your check. I've just simply got to have that vase back.
That vase?
My customer just phoned that she's got to have it.
Oh, well, now listen.
Now, let's not quibble. I'll pay you $300 for it.
You talked me into it. And Mr. Miller.
Yes?
In case Aladdin should drop in to browse around, send him over here. I've got enough magic going on for both of us.
Gildy will be back in just a moment.
The mayor and the council decided that that piece of property you own would make a good place for the city dump. So they offered you $50 for it. Well, naturally, you couldn't sell it for that price, but they said, take it or leave it. It's that or nothing. Well, you still hold out. And the next day, the city truck backs up and a load of trash is dumped on your lawn. It's like they said, take it or leave it. It's not likely that such a thing could happen, because every mayor, every city council, every American citizen knows that it's against the law, the highest law of our country. It's right there in our Bill of Rights, clearly stated. Private property shall not be taken for public use without just compensation. Not all governments give such protection to their citizens. Under some, private ownership is forbidden, and the state owns it all. But it's a pretty comforting thought for us to know that we can buy a piece of property, build on it, pass it on to our children, and no one can ever take it away from us without paying for it. And if it's needed for public use, we can even ask a little more than it's worth. But until we decide to sell, and as long as we pay our taxes, that property is ours, guaranteed and protected by our Constitution, by Article 5 of our Bill of Rights. It is one of our freedoms.
Hello, Mr. Miller. Here I am.
Come right in and browse around, sir. Just make yourself... Oh, Mr. Lafayette. And you brought the vase.
Yeah, I hurried right down with it.
Good, good. And I'll get your $300.
No. Wait, Mr. Miller. I don't want to make any profit. All I ask is my $250 back. Yeah, I can't tell you how, but I feel I've already been well repaid.
Well, hello, Mr. Miller. I've come for my vase. Oh, Throckmorton.
Mila.
This is the customer who wanted the vase.
Throckmorton, how did you know I wanted a pair? You bought this vase to make another lamp for me.
But, Leela...
You great, big, handsome man. Well, now that deserves another great, big kiss.
Now.
Well, maybe I'm the one who should browse around.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Miller. What am I saying? Who's sorry?
Oh, Throckmorton, you're just a great big lover man.
But I can't see any profit in this deal, Mr. Lafayette.
You could if you were standing where I am.
Oh, you.
Lafayette never had it so good. Good night, sir.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman and is an NBC Radio Network production, produced and directed by Virgil Reimer. Musical compositions by Jack Meekin. Included in the cast were Walter Tetley, Amanda Randolph, Shirley Mitchell, Ken Peters, and Dick LeGrand. Now this is Don Rickles inviting you to listen again next week to another new adventure of The Great Gildersleeve.
The Great Gildersleeve has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.